Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Unfortunate for you, you're only going to hear me do that one more time. And then the next time I preach, it will be after Easter. So enjoy it while we still have it. Today is a special day. It is called Rogate, and unlike most of our church Sundays, its name does not come from the first words of our introit in the Latin. Rather, it comes from a call to pray. You are very familiar with a day of Thanksgiving. There is a national day set aside to give thanks to God Almighty as our Creator, and the one who sustains our lives. And that is a good thing. It is good to return praise to our Creator, to recognize that God is our Heavenly Father who gives us all things needful. But sometimes I really think we have lost touch with the history of the church. Rogate would come with rogation days. That would be days set aside that a community would gather to pray. That the church would call national days of repentance. That she would call a fast, a return to the church to pray to God that he might hear us. I think that we are at a terrible disadvantage to our forefathers who understood God's hand in their lives. That when wickedness and evil surrounded us, we would come back to God. We would repent, and not just privately, but publicly. What good is a feast if all we ever do is feast? We have lost a real understanding of that day of Thanksgiving because we have lost sight of a day of fasting. A day of repentance. And that's a shame. Because quite honestly, Western civilization needs a return. It needs to repent. And while it is easy for us to become nostalgic about days that we can no longer reclaim, rather we should focus on returning to the Lord and moving forward. How do we take the bright spots of history and use them to make ourselves better? That is what we are called to do. We are called to return to God Almighty, and we are called to pray. I hope that each of you prays every single day, because that's what God desires of you. He has commanded you to pray, and more importantly, he has promised to hear your prayers. Not because we deserve it. Not because we're worthy of him hearing our prayers when he has everyone to be considerate of. But because he loves you. Jesus gives us this in our text for today. He says, "Not that I will ask, but rather that your Father in heaven will hear you." The fact that you get to pray every single day, "Our Father," is a gift and a blessing. Again, not because of our own worthiness, because all we have to bring to God is sin. But he takes that sin, and he pours out his wrath for that sin on his own Son. God took on flesh to die for our sin. And then when we come to the font, we are washed and we are redeemed. God takes our sins out of us in that water, and instead he gives us the righteousness and holiness of the Son. Now when the Father looks at you, he no longer looks at all the stains and the punishment that we deserve. Rather, he looks at his Son. And he sees the robe that now covers you. And he says, "Dear child, I love you. As a father loves his children, I love you. I have taken you to myself. I have provided you with everything that you need because I love you. When we fail to pray, there is definitely something going on in our spiritual lives. And we need to repent. And we need to return. The church gathers to pray to God, to return the very words that he has given us in his word, to sing his praises with them, to tell the world what he has done. And we ask that he would create in us clean hearts, that we might remember our baptism daily, a baptism that drowns the old Adam and brings to new life the new Christ that lives in us. Your Father loves you, and he loves to hear your prayers. Believe that and return to him. Too often, I think, as the church, we also neglect the Word of God. We forget just how important the Word of God is to be in our daily lives. When we look at our epistle lesson from James, it is a continuation of our epistle lesson from last week. And we see how that word is to actually make us doers of it. It is good that you are here today to hear the word of God. But you also are called to be doers of his word. For St. James writes, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." To illustrate this point, I was listening to John Cooper, the lead singer of a band called Skillet, recently, and he was talking about if he were to come into your house and he were to wake you up and to say, "There is a fire in your house, you need to get out now." If you truly believed that phrase, what would you do? Would you groggily say, "I'll get around to it," or will you get up and get your family and get out? You know the answer. If you truly believe the word that has been proclaimed to you, it will actually change the way you act. And God's word is to do that too. God's word is not just something for us to hear on Sunday morning and then put away until the next Sunday morning. Rather, God's word is to actually impact the way we live. To say we are Christians and then to live like the heathens out there is not beneficial. It does not show that we actually believe the word that Jesus has proclaimed. If you believe that God has died for your sins, that he went to the cross to be punished for all of your wickedness, would it not impact the way you live? Would you live every day as though it didn't really matter? Would you live every day like the heathen do who rage against God? Or would you strive? Would you recognize that the Holy Spirit is living in you, that you are a temple of that Spirit, and that you are called to live differently? Yes, you are a sinner like the rest, but you have been called to live a holy life. It impacts us. If you are truly a Christian, you will strive to have no other gods. You will strive to keep God's name holy in your mouth and in your mind. You will strive to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, that you will find yourself in these pews Sunday after Sunday, and then every day returning to his word, reading it as a family. You will honor and respect those in authority, including your own parents. You will not strive to take someone's life. You will hold the marriage vows that you swore until death do you part. You will not take that which is not yours. You will not lie and deceive. You will not go around gossiping or besmirching your neighbor. Rather, you would be content with what God has given. That is how we are called to live. And you know what? It's not easy. It's not comfortable. But that's not what God has called you to, is it? God has called you to live differently than this world. And he says, even when the world looks at you and it wants to mock you and it spurns you, turn to me. Jesus is your all in all. St. James talks about what pure religion is. And in a world where I hear so many people saying, I'm not religious, rather I'm spiritual, or they'll say things like, I don't like organized religion, my response is usually, how's that disorganized religion working out for you? But the fact is that we have a religion not created by men, but by God. Christianity is the bride of Christ. The church is his bride. He has washed her in his own blood. He has made her spotless. He has made her clean. And he calls the children here to receive those gifts, to hear his grace. There's so many out there who say, well, my Jesus doesn't say those sorts of things. My Jesus loves everything that you might do. My Jesus, my Jesus. And I tell you this today, unless your Jesus is the same Jesus that speaks very clearly in his word, you do not have the true Jesus. You have your own God. A God that you have invented, or a God that a demon has given to you to worship. Your Jesus says some serious things. Things that this world does not like. And while it would prefer just to focus on their own version of Jesus, much like a hippie Jesus, that's not the real Jesus. Jesus isn't just a nice guy. He is a good man. And being a good man means that he calls out sin when necessary. But even when the law hurts us, because it calls us to repent, because it calls us to remember that we cannot save ourselves, the gospel is there and it is sweet. Jesus is your Jesus. He is the only salvation. And he is here with us today. He will join himself to bread and wine, and he will give us the true body and blood that he has given and shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. What is pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father, St. James writes, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You as the church should care very much about the widow and the fatherless because God has called the church to care for them. But you should also care less about what the world thinks and care more about what Jesus thinks. Keep oneself unspotted from the world. Do not let the world corrupt you. Do not let the world tell you that you have a choice to murder, to take a life that is not yours, to slay a body that is not yours. That is not what Jesus desires for you. He desires that you love life, that you stand up for life, and that when the world tells you all sorts of hateful things for following the real Jesus, you will remember what Jesus said to his disciples in our gospel lesson today. Take heart, I have overcome the world. The church sings, from evil, Lord, deliver us. The times and days are perilous. Redeem us from eternal death. And when we yield our dying breath, console us, grant us calm release, and take our souls to you in peace. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.